ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं गयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. इन् अवर् लास्ट् क्लास् वी हव् डिस्कस्ड् सम् वर्सेस् फ्रम् दि सिक्स्त् चाप्टर् विच् इस् काल्ड् ध्यानयोग आर् आत्मसंयमयोग. Atma means mind. The word Atma is for the body, for the sense organs, for the mind, for the buddhi. Or it can be also for the soul or Atma. We have to be careful about what is the content. That is why Sanskrit poses sometimes some problem. So, in the fifth shloka, Uddharet Atmana Atmanam. Self-effort is being praised here. Because God may bestow His grace, but if we are not able to receive it, that is not going to come. Not only that, it will be counterproductive also. What is counterproductive? Example, that Mathur Babu was granted some spiritual extra. And after few days, he sent for Sri Ramakrishna. And he came, he saw, and he said, Baba, I am going mad. I am unable to. So, that ecstasy should have given him true joy. He should have been intoxicated. But then what is happening? That he is complaining that even my normal life, I cannot enjoy. Why? He was not ready for that. So, to receive God's grace, we have to prepare ourselves. That preparation is called self-control. That's all. And Swami Vivekananda defines education as religion and education. He gave lot of definitions. So, the one definition we all know about religion, the manifestation of divinity already in man. But he also gave another definition. Religion is the eternal relationship between the eternal God and the eternal soul. Many other definitions he had given. About education, he also gave education is that which makes the mind absolutely one point. It's not exact words. But that is more or less. That's why he said, what I mean by education, teach a child how to focus his mind. And to focus the mind, what is the first thing that you do? Mind control. Without mind, what is our problem? I can resist everything excepting temptation. So, another definition of beautiful, very common, popular definition. Education is the manifestation of perfection already in man. Swami Vivekananda used to say, all knowledge is already within, but it requires certain suggestions. Like, you know, you take a match stick. Is the fire already inside or not? Then what does the matchbox do? It is only a friction that breathes. Suppose it is wet, will it work? Suppose it looks like the tip of a match, will it work? It won't work. It must be having already inside. Flint. You have to require flint also. Simply you rub with your fingers, it is not going to come out. Another flint should be there, both must be struck, each other produce that spark. So, education is the manifestation of perfection already, but for that perfection to come out, we require schools, we require teachers, we require books, etc. What is the mistake we are committing? Knowledge is coming from books, etc. No, knowledge is not coming from books. How do we know? That you take a donkey to any class, do you think it is going to get knowledge? Why? Perfection is there. The donkey is going to one day be reborn as a human being and it is going to bring out. But at that stage, it is not just yet ready for that. So, all effort is for bringing out that which is already within us. This is a profound law. We have to sit and meditate on. Our mistake is, everything is outside. I can extend this to other areas. All wealth is outside or inside. All success is outside or inside. So, if somebody is very wealthy. I'm giving example, somebody is very wealthy. Is that wealth coming from outside or from inside? Then how did, for example, Bill Gates become so rich? And what made him make use of that knowledge? Punya. He performed lot of meritorious acts in the past life. Don't forget, this is not what is called a physical science class or the spiritual class. And all our classes are dependent upon certain beliefs. What is the belief? That God exists. There are other worlds. There is a life hereafter. That means there was a life before. There will be a life afterwards. Until we reach God, this life cycle goes on and on and on. And I clarified several things during my past talk. What is it? That there is no mistake in life. All mistakes are corrections which are helped us to move forward. There is nothing called suffering or unhappiness world. From one point of view, it is suffering. But from another point of view, it is a great eye-opener taking us to gradually to God. Another point we have to, there is nobody, no killer, there is no killed. If somebody is killed, because he is prarabdha, that's all. If somebody is the killer, that is also because of the prarabdha only, that person. But if that person thinks, I am the doer, then he will get the punishment or reward, whatever, good or bad. If somebody thinks, I am just instrument for the completion, exhaustion of other people's karma, then he will not be touched by that karma. These are certain fundamental beliefs we have to understand any scripture in this manner. And an incarnation comes only to strengthen, clarify this understanding. So, if a person has become very rich, because there are so many people, even with better knowledge than belief, but that idea never came to, no, I'm not going to educate you now. If IBM was doing, it invented this DOS operating system. Machine is there, man is there. But how can the man contact the, they have to invent a language called machine language and DOS earlier. That is how when you type something, it doesn't understand. I am so and so, it doesn't understand. It translates whatever is typed into its machine language. And then what comes it is whatever we see, whatever. Now, the IBM did not value that one. This person, he thought, in future, this is going to be the foundation for so many future machines. He bought it at a, what you call, dirt cheap, very, very throwaway price on sale. And then he developed it. And then he made the, that invention, made it his own. And that is what very rich. But he did not become rich because of it. Because he was fated to be rich, that idea came to him. And he utilized that idea. And then he became rich. So, if there are two equally intelligent persons, one has not deserved merit, another person deserves that merit, and then who will become great in future? You understand? All these are external or means because of his, for his merit to manifest or for his demerit to manifest. That is what we need to understand if we are studying these scriptures. This is not like scientist reasoning. For a scientist, he doesn't believe all those. He says, oh, this person has bought and he used his intelligence, he became rich. There are many more intelligent and yet they have not become. You understand now what we are talking about? Okay. Now, this, to receive the grace of God, or I would say in another way, to manifest our own perfection which is already, we have to control our mind. What does mind control do? It makes us fit subjects to manifest our own, whether it is physical knowledge, scientific knowledge, artistic knowledge, or you have to be clear about these ideas. First of all, mind control doesn't mean always receiving God's grace. God's grace can come not only in the form of wealth, even to understand things, need God's grace. Even to have scientific knowledge or whatever knowledge, whether through that scientific knowledge or whatever knowledge, we are going to get certain things, external things is a different issue. Knowledge itself is a valuable thing. Simple example I am telling. Two persons are striving to become good musicians. And if they really work hard and they get quite a good amount of artistical knowledge, okay? One person may become very famous. Another person may not be. You study, open your eyes and study. One person may be a better musician than the other person. The better musician may not be rich or famous. The lesser musician could be more famous, more popular, and also richer, no doubt about it. So it all depends upon if this person then works hard, the result of that karma, hard work, charity, will be, he will get something. But what he gets depends upon what he is seeking, but what he gets externally, that depends upon whether he is a selfish fellow or unselfish. Now I am telling you something else. Both selfish person also can be very sincere, unselfish person also both can be sincere. But because a selfish person is sincere, he will get things only selfish. He will improve in knowledge or whatever he sets his mind to. But that person is not destined to enjoy, because basically a selfish person is one who doesn't contribute to the happiness. So that he will not be able to enjoy it. An unselfish person, he will also get knowledge, but he will also be able to enjoy everything very much. So many subdivisions are there. Am I clear? Not only what do you aim for? Sincerity, hard work. That's why I said two things. Shraddha. Now, you should not have the doubt whether God is somebody bestows his grace partially. You take, it's like going to an ocean. You take one small glass, it will not deny you water. You take a tanker, it will not deny. So, the self-control is like taking what you are capable of taking. God's grace should not be misunderstood as though there is a person like us and he likes people and he distributes according to the likes and all likes are this. There is only capacity and non-capacity. This is okay. You have got doubts? All right. So, the whole last class we discussed that let a man be lifted up by his own self, means by self-effort. Let him not lower himself. That means he should never cherish negative thoughts. Always positive thoughts with regard to the world, with regard to everything, spiritual life or worldly life. For a man is his own best friend and a man himself is his worst enemy. This is pure psychology. This is called self-help. When you enter a bookshop, the first most popular and most sold books are on what subject? Self-help. How long that self-help lasts? Yes. And then you go for the next. Unless we put it into practice, it is not going to help us. Then he says that bandhur atmaatmanastasya ena atma eva atmanajitaha anatmanaha tu shatrutve vartetu atma eva shatru. Same idea is expressing a person who controls his mind, he is his great, that mind becomes his greatest well-wisher, friend and uplifter. And a mind which is not conquered, that means we are slaves to our mind. Mind means what? Thoughts. Thoughts means what? Usually lower thoughts. You have to understand, mind consists of both good thoughts and evil thoughts. But then, control of the mind, we can put it this way. Non-control of the mind means what? We become slaves to the unsavory, impure thoughts which lead us to unhappiness. What does it really mean? It means controlling of the mind means you cultivate good, positive, ideal, higher thoughts and try to overcome whichever is suppressing, which we already cultivated. Animal thoughts have been cultivated. Slowly reduce them by replace them ultimately with spiritual thoughts. This is called mind control. Mind consists of what? Thoughts. Thoughts are of two varieties, good thoughts and evil. So, evil. Now we are a mixture of good and evil thoughts. What is the proportion? 50-50. What is the proportion? 50-50. You understand? 50% good thoughts, 50% evil thoughts. Like a horse and a rabbit. Which is the rabbit? Good thoughts. Good thoughts, no? Otherwise, you would have been a saint by now. We always have to understand, we are coming from a lower level to a higher level. Lower level means lower thoughts. Higher level means higher thoughts. This is very easily understandable. But control of the mind is strewn with so much difficulty. Why is it? all difficulties come because of the strong repetition of thoughts we ourselves have cultivated in our past. An animal, what do you think its thoughts were? Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maithuna. That's all. The human being also, lower human, the same thoughts will continue. Slowly he will evolve, and then he hears about God, hears about the other world, hears about unselfishness, hears about purity of mind. Slowly, by hearing, slowly those thoughts also penetrate into his mind. So this is what he is telling, that a person who conquered his mind means who filled himself with most positive, beautiful, idealistic thoughts, that those thoughts act as the greatest friend. And he who does the opposite, his mind is with unhappy thoughts, and unhappy thoughts make a person what? The whole spiritual life is to make our mind spiritual, means our thoughts should be thoughts spiritual, means then we become identified with the thoughts. So one thought is of God. Ultimately, as we go on thinking the thought of God, I become identified with thought of God. So finally it says, I'm trying to explain to you what happens, some event takes. Then mind reacts with anger. Now what happens? There is a difference. There is an angry thought. A neutral thought now has become an angry thought. See, before the event happens, we always have neutral thought. Here is a person. That's it. It is a neutral thought. But that person does something that immediately brings a reaction in the mind. What is the reaction? Anger. For example, anger. At that stage, I have nothing to do with it. It is a thought. But then next second, what happens? I goes and this yoga comes. It identifies itself that previously there was an angry thought. Now I am angry. So this tendency is always there. What is it? The tendency to identify myself with whatever thought is arising in the mind is always there. It will be there until the very end. See, what does the Guru come and say? Replace all thoughts with this one thought. What is it? Tat Tvam Asi. And then the person takes in that thought and says, this tendency is there. This tendency cannot go. But now this time, the same tendency comes to our help in the form of I am Brahman. At first it is unbelievable, afterwards it is possible, afterwards yes it is true, afterwards I am that. This is the process. So I wanted to point out, what did I point out just now? You have to be very clear, not only in your thought, in your language. The concept I am telling, the tendency of ourselves to identify with whatever thought arises in the mind. From the beginning until mukti is obtained, we are dealing with the mind. We are not dealing outside mind. Mind means thoughts. Thoughts arise. That's why the last highest thought is called Brahma Akara Vritti. Vritti means a thought. Instead of worldly thought, what is it? Thought about God. That's all. Thought about God. Brahma Akara. The thought takes the shape of the Brahman, God. And I identify. First I say, I can't be God. So, I am a devotee of God. I am a relative of God. I am a servant of God. I am a friend of God. I am the mother of God. I am a child of God. I am the beloved of God. I am the lover of God. So, slowly we are coming nearer. Salokya, Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya and Sayujya. Four stages of slow development. Finally, I am Vishnu. I am Narayana, I am Shiva, Shivoham, Shivoham. That is what is come. Simply we chant, it doesn't mean anything. Once I become identified with the thought, then there is no division, dichotomy between me and the thought. If there is only one thought, that is of God, that is called Savikalpa, then there is no dichotomy, the thought and the subject. And subject and object. Thought means object. Subject and object become completely one. This is called Nirvikalpa. That's it. That is the end of it. We cannot understand it because it can come. It could only when we really actually experience. So that is what is being told here. Then, if a person conquers his own mind, means his mind is filled with only positive, beautiful, happy, godly, spiritual thoughts. What does naturally we are always seeing? If I study this, what do I gain? If I pass this, what do I gain? If I work to this firm, in this firm, what do I gain? What do I gain? What do I gain? And what do I gain? What do you want? People say so many things. I want power. I want money. I want beautiful objects. All those are bunk. That is what he is telling. That what do I get? Jitatmana, jitatmana, prashantasya, paramatma, samahitaha, sitoshna, sukha dukkheshu, tatha mana apamanayu. So this person has controlled his mind. That is called jita atmanaha, means jita manas. He is the master of his mind. He controlled his mind. Then that means the mind will listen to whatever, it doesn't rebel. That leveling of the mind is called disobedience, and that is our problem. Even though when we know something is good, our mind says, yeah, you stupid fellow, who do you think? I am the master, you are a slave. Whatever I order you, you order it. Whatever I order you to order, you order it. Go to the restaurant, not what you want to eat, but what I ask you to order, that you are going to please me, I am not going to please you. No, but I may suffer. If you suffer, there is nothing to do. I want to be happy. This is what the mind says. But a person who conquered the mind, they become one. Whatever is good for the master, now the mind. That is what is. Jitatmanaha, one who has conquered himself, completely controlled himself. What is the first thing that happens? Prashantaha. His mind becomes completely serene, peaceful, absolutely one point, serene. And this serenity is what is called yoga. Yoga, chitta, vritti, and all the thoughts completely subside, like all the waves subside. How does a body of water look like? Absolutely. And then what happens? That is what we need to understand. Oh, my mind has become very calm. What do I get by it? First of all, that is the greatest happiness. When you get happiness, what happens to your mind? I am putting it the other way around. When you are happy, what is the state of your mind? I already told you that. When you are happy, that means the mind has become, it doesn't trouble you. Absolutely quiet. So long as you are happy, it is absolutely quiet. The moment unhappiness comes, mind has started working again. This is the truth about psychological. So the mind becomes prashanta, not only shanta, prakrushta rupena shanta, because it is in your control. You told it, don't do anything, just be quiet. Then for such a person, paramatma samahitaha, God is realized at that moment. God is realized means whatever that person sees, nothing but God. Why? And the mind becomes like a pure mirror. Whatever is reflected on it is nothing but pure. Pure mirror only reflects what is, that is called God. Paramatma samahitaha means is not remote, immediately, directly. All the such a person, this is his experience, and we don't know what he is experiencing. When Sri Ramakrishna enters into samadhi, we don't know what he experiences. Simply we doubt words. Oh, he entered into. But we can experience what are the effects of samadhi. What are the effects of samadhi? Sita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkeshu, Tatha, Mana, Apamana. Three pairs of examples are given. Sita and there are certain common characteristics of all the three. First of all, that heat and cold. Cold and heat. In winter, it will be cold. Summer, it will be hot. So, are they producers of unhappiness? No. But in general, they produce unhappiness. But the same cold in winter season, very pleasant. Similarly, very hot things in summer season are not very hot wind, everything. Hot cloths, warm cloths. But the same warm cloths in winter season will be. So what we need to understand, the first fact, this world, every is undergoing a constant flux change. Day, night, day turns into night, night turns into happiness, turns into unhappiness, unhappiness turns into happiness. So this is a common expression. These two indicate what is called physical condition. So Sita Ushna are examples of every external experience that we go through. Clean food, unclean food, a clean house, unclean house, a clean dress, unclean dirty dress, and a clean carpet. Every experience, see through the gross external waking. Then he gives examples. Sukha and dukkha. What is the thing? Again, common thing? Changing. Sukha is changing into happiness, changes into unhappiness, unhappiness into happiness. But these two experiences now do not belong to the body. They belong to the mind. Because sukha, dukkha, the body doesn't know what is sukha and dukkha. It is only the mind that knows sukha and dukkha. Then another pair is given, mana and some people like you, some people don't like you. Some people honor you, some people dishonor you. At the same time, you can be both also respected and disrespected. Can you give an example? At the same time, not only at different times, but at the same. Yes, that is one example. But I will give you one example. Supposing you are a quite knowledgeable person. Those who have less knowledge than you, they always respect you for your higher knowledge. And those who have got higher knowledge than you, I am not saying they disrespect, but they definitely look down upon you. So not only that, we all of us are somewhat beautiful in our own way. Those who are less beautiful, they envy us. Those who are more beautiful, they look down upon. In every, those who are somewhat rich and those who are poor respect them. And those who are very, very, what they call, unable to bear stinking, very rich people, then what happens? They will look down upon the less wealthy. So in every respect it is going on. It is also due to circumstance. What is important here, all the three pairs, they are all changing. Anything in this world, they all bodily or mental, they are all always constant. They are changing one into the other. That is the first one. The second is, he is talking about a person who has conquered his mind. Whether it is cold or heat, whether it is honor or dishonor, whether it is happiness or unhappiness, he doesn't. Why he doesn't care? Because a person who depends upon his happiness from outside, they enslave him. So if it is favorable, he is happy. Unfavorable, not happy. If this person depends upon totally upon himself, and depending upon oneself and depending upon God is exactly the same thing. Such a person, he doesn't care for whatever. I don't care. I have nothing because I am fully happy up to. What do the other things do? They pull your mind down. This person, there is no. He becomes a mindless. That means his mind is God's mind. And God's mind is his mind. Therefore, do you think God will undergo all these problems? Even you don't undergo when you are in deep sleep or in, let somebody cut your body, as they are all crazy ideas. Some doctor takes into his head, I am hungry, he has put you under anesthesia and take a little bit of your thing, fry it then and there, add a little masala, and will you know about it? Until you come back to your awareness, you will not know anything. You don't care because you don't depend upon anesthesia, this God anesthesia. That's what exactly it makes a person. So that whatever happens outside, nothing to do. Examples I gave when Ramana Maharshi's hand was operated because of karma, he did not care. Mahapurush Maharaj also, Turiyanandji also, same thing. Sri Ramakrishna was sitting in it. And Madhur Babu's son came and told, Hriday was dead. Then Madhur Babu's servant came and said, Babu says you also have. Simply put, if there was a towel, and he was going with it. And then this Babu saw him, was frightened. He ran and said, Baba, I did not mean you. I meant Hriday. Oh, now what happens? Oh, he sent me out of Delhi. And then he might have begged pardon. But what right he has got to? We keep that grudge for a long time. That's Ramakrishna's mind. Mother wanted me to go out. And she did not think properly. Then immediately, you know, she thought properly. And she said that she wants me not to go out, come back. And then everything is mine. If he goes out, who is there? If he is in Nesvar, who is there? If he goes outside, who is there? Mother. He cannot be separated from God. That is why So conquering the mind, getting Atma Jnana, self-knowledge, or being always in the presence of God, they all synonymous. They may never be dependent upon anything else. Total dependence upon God, these are all the samadhi. What is samadhi? Perfect control over the thoughts. Yoga. Yoga vritti nirodha. Tada drashtu swarupe avasthanam. So when all the minds are removed, he abides in his own true self. This is what we call samadhi, control of the mind, practice of the presence of God, whatever name you give it, that is. Then the next verse says, another characteristic of the person who has become master of his own mind. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriyaha yukta ityuchyate yogi samalostashma kanchanaha. Jnana vijnana tripta atma. He becomes completely satiated with two things, jnana and vijnana. And what is jnana? Theoretical knowledge with absolute conviction is called. What is the difference? This is theoretical knowledge. He has not directly experienced, but complete it is. What is it? God. I am God. This theoretical knowledge that he is convinced. There is no doubt about it. That is called jnana. One interpretation. So, what is vijnana? Is somebody had heard about milk, somebody had seen milk, somebody had drunk the milk. So, what is the jnana? So, this person heard about milk, this person had seen milk, there is no doubt about the existence of the, but he has not touched the. So, I will give you one samya, an example. Somebody heard about sugar, somebody had seen the sugar also. Somebody brought in soul, is called sugar. What is his knowledge of sugar? When he heard, that knowledge is doubtful. When he had seen, it is certain knowledge. But his understanding of sugar is absolutely, in both cases, nil. Supposing that sugar is one grain of sugar, is slowly brought, and the distance between his tongue and that sugar grain is 1 millionth of a millimeter. What is his knowledge of the sugar? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He knows sugar is there, but his experience knowledge of the sugar is completely, even if it is 1 millionth of a millimeter away from the moment one tongue, he has forever, for eternity, he knows what is called. That is called vijnana. This is commonsensical interpretation. But Sri Ramakrishna uses this word in a different. So, I will give you again two versions. Those who have realized God in him, what is impersonal aspect is called his experience. Like Totapuri, he experienced Brahman, but he was joyless. Joyful, but not so joyful as Sri Ramakrishna. Then, after experiencing that one, his mind comes down and he sees this Saguna, God, personal aspect of God. He realizes that what I have experienced from Samadhi state and what I am now, exactly the same. Now his knowledge is fuller knowledge. So, he is enjoying. When his mind is open, he enjoys this. When his mind ascends to Leela and Nitya, he will enjoy this. This is called more intimate knowledge, fuller knowledge, and that is what Sri Ramakrishna is by vijnana. This is another. So, which understanding of difference between jnana and vijnana is more acceptable to us? Sri Ramakrishna's interview. Do you get what I am talking about? So, even a person may have all the scientific knowledge. For example, this works in every situation. I will give you two examples. One crude example, one better example. The crude example is, a person is very intelligent, very wise. He starts a business. He becomes very rich and he develops a stomach trouble and what is called acid flows, you know, stress, etc. And he can only take milk of magnesium. But who will be enjoying all his wealth? All his children, all the servants, they enjoy, I think, more than. This is called jnana. But here is a person who earns money, his body is perfect and he is ravenously hungry and he can digest whatever he eats. and his Jatharagni is 10 times more than a normal. What should we call him? Vignani. He enjoys it thoroughly. This is not a very elegant example, but I will give you another example. Here are two musicians. One musician, he knows everything. How many mela ragas, how many janya ragas. Understand mela and janya ragas? Original ragas are called mela ragas or mother ragas. And whatever is derived from the mother ragas is called janya ragas and various variations. So, a person knows thoroughly every raga and he can also, but nobody listens to because his voice is gardhava swara. Unfortunately, God had endowed him with the throat of a voice of a donkey. There are people like that. They have theoretical knowledge. So, this knowledge is, what is it called? Jnana. But this person is also endowed with a beautiful voice and beautiful personality. No, there are, I should not say all those. If there are two singers, one is very beautiful, another is Gopecharalu. Singing, beautiful. But personality is, you feel like listening with more intently by closing your eye, because not very good to look at. So, one is theoretical knowledge. He could sing also, but nobody is appreciating. They appreciate his knowledge, but not his, the other person, both theoretical knowledge, also practice expression of it. So much variation. That's why we have our own favorite singers. Maybe same songs. Is it not? This is what makes it in. What is this example? A person who have no talent to sing, but all theoretical is called Jnani. And a person who not only has theoretical knowledge, but as well as he can sing beautifully, and there is a satisfaction he gets, and there is a satisfaction which others feel and appreciate. This person is Jnani, because not only he is happy, other people also. There is a more happiness in making other people happy. So, one is richer knowledge, another is lesser. That is the difference in jnana. So, jnana, vijnana, tripta, atma. Both give tripti. But there is a vast difference between jnani and vijnana. Kutastaha. Kuta means a blacksmith's anvil is called kutastaha. You know, when he wants to do something very hard, on that he will put red hot iron, this thing, and with a hammer. All the changes take place only in the, what is kept on the anvil. But the anvil itself is never affected by what is it? What is most richly laden with meaning. What is it? Kutastha means I am that knowledge. Whatever waves, experiences pass to this person, he can enjoy everything. But he won't be reacting to Sita and Krishna, mana and apamana, sukha and, but he must be reacting. He is not like a piece of stone. His mind will be filled with an ocean, Satchidananda Sagara. He is so much filled with ananda, there is no place for any other reaction. Here is a psychological law. An ocean is not, but anything smaller than ocean, a river can be affected. Even our Kaveri River, sometimes when there is good rain, when there is less rain, everybody will be suffering. So, this person, like a kutastha only, you have to take that meaning. He is Sita, Vishna, Mana, Apamana, doesn't. Not only those very things will make him very happy, because God comes in the form of sukha, God comes in the form of, when God comes in the form of dukkha, I am using words, you have to be alert. Sukha comes in the form of sukha. Sukha comes in the form of dukkha. Now tell me, when sukha comes in the form of dukkha, is it sukha or dukkha? What a break. Sukha comes, it will only come as sukha. There is no dukkha. I am playing with words. When God comes, in that person will be always happy. Is there an unhappy God? That is God. Kutastha means, first idea is, no external event will disturb him. Second meaning is, he is filled with immeasurable, infinite, inexpressible happiness. That is what we have done. Kutastaha, vijitendriya. Naturally, his mind is, he has conquered his mind. Therefore, all his indriyas mean all his sense organs. Sense organs means thoughts. All his thoughts are under his, the limited thoughts are replaced by unlimited thoughts. Unlimitedness belongs only to God and nothing else. Such a person, sama loshta ashma kanchana, his mind will be reacting, looking upon, what is it? So three things he gives, loshta ashma kanchana. Loshta means a clod of earth. Ashma means a piece of stone. Kanchana means a piece of gold. Whether it is gold or a piece of stone or a clod of earth, for him, differentiation in valuation, it doesn't mean he is not aware of the difference. Annamaite ne mira mari, sonnamaite ne mira, e padu pottaku anname etamur. So, he will know, physically he will react to things. If a tiger comes, will say, Ramakrishna, run away or not? He will run away. But then, when I look at that tiger, I look it upon it as a tiger. When he looks upon the same tiger, and tiger Narayana. That is the difference. Him and he is not frightened of it. That is. So, such a person who has got both jnana and vigna, who is ever content, who never reacts to anything, at the same time filled with bliss, and his body and mind are in perfect control under him. Such a person, yuktaha iti uchyate. He is called endowed with yoga. Yukta means one who is associated with God. Such a person alone can be called a yogi. One who is endowed with yoga is called, and he looks upon everything as God. Earlier in the 5th chapter, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane, Kavihastini Jaiva, Shvapa Kecha, Panditaha, Samadarshinaha, Premarpana, Samadarsha, Jaga, Jana, Dukkha, Jaya, every day we are. These are the characters. Now, only one point I will, before I close. A yogi is one. He sees God all the time, everywhere, in himself. But it doesn't mean, so long as body and mind is alive, he doesn't see all of things. He sees man is man, he sees woman is woman, he sees a scorpion is a scorpion, and he sees an earthworm is an earthworm, snake, and a beautiful house is a beautiful house, a beautiful woman, a rich man is a rich man. Everything that we see, he also experiences, and he also behaves differently. If he is an impure person, Ramakrishna never touched his food. He will keep at a distance. Worldly person, you go and look at this. I don't want to speak to you. Not because he hates him, because it's a waste of time for him and for the other person too. But inside, he sees that God only has become worldly person, God only has become good person, God only. That perfect knowledge is what may utastaha. Vijitendriyaha. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru.